This is Pinned, a pro wrestling podcast with Austin, Chad, and Amir of And More Media, covering highlights from this week in the world of pro wrestling.
Are you ready?
No, I said, are you ready?
Oh, illustrious And More Media Studio! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world-famous three podcast hosts and feel the power! Ooh, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's episode of Pinned, a pro wrestling podcast. I, of course, am one of the three co-hosts of this program. I am the Kofi Kingston to this new day. I am Chad, and joining me is the Xavier Woods and the Big E, Amir and Austin. I'm not sure which one is which. I will let you two determine that.
I mean, take Xavier.
I was going to say Big E, Amir. Come on now. I was made
for there we go. And you know what? Big E, the Ethan for Amir. Yeah. And Xavier Woods, Austin Creed. This works like perfectly.
It's perfect. Yeah. And then you'll be Kofi Kingston, even though you did your best possible Big E impersonation at the top of the show.
I thought it was a pretty solid impression.
I think it was solid, honestly. It was solid. My goodness, I mean, dude. No one can do that man justice.
Yeah. Don't worry, Amir. I'll let you do it next time.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
So, a couple things at the top. First of all, we want to say sorry for not getting an episode out. If you saw on Twitter, we had some tech issues, and our Craig over here, the fucker who is the bot that records our podcast, really
motherfucking cred.
Jesus, Craig, fuck off. But yeah, so Craig dropped the ball. So hopefully he doesn't drop the ball this week, or he might be fired. So we'll have to see. But that's why we didn't get the episode out. It was a tech issue. So we will be back this week with an episode. Next week, we'll probably put out an episode. But if we don't, it is because Austin and I are both going on vacation. Not together, separately. We should still have an episode out, but just know that if it's not out next week, that's why. We will be back the week after that. But I think we could probably get a show out before we go. What do you think, Austin?
I think there's going to be an episode earlier than people expect it to be, because I don't think we'll be doing an episode of Pinned Weekly where we'll be looking at everything that happened in the week of pro wrestling. I think more so we'll be talking about like just a specific topic, something we really want to talk about in pro wrestling.
Maybe we'll put up a Twitter poll.
It's possible. Yes, we'll have a few ideas. We'll put it on Twitter, see what people are feeling, and it'll be like a Taboo Tuesday, yes, exactly, or a Cyber Sunday or whatnot.
Well, if we can do it and record on a Tuesday, that would be ideal. But that's in 2 days, so
that it would, like, you know what? Honestly, that would be ideal if that was the case. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But regardless, yes, Craig is our new whipping boy. We will be going after him anytime something on the podcast fucks up, even if it's not his fault, because it's always
whipping boy. I don't like that. I don't like that expression. I don't like that.
Craig down to developmental, you know?
Yeah, I send Craig back to developmental. Listen here, if we were a 4-man commentary booth, Craig would be that one fucker who sucks. Verk, is that his name?
Headman Verk. Okay.
Headman Verk. Was that the right name? I don't even remember.
His name is Adnan Verk. Yes.
Who apparently
did so bad. I want to actually, this will be just the lead in, honestly, because with Raw, apparently didn't do a great job this week either, because he, according to Amir, he told us he trended last week on Twitter.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I think, so here's the thing. It's been a couple weeks. He's been on Raw for a little bit. I'm going to save myself for last on this because I am the resident commentator, critiquer, and I either am hard on commentators or I give them benefit of the doubt. I am the most critical person of pro wrestling commentating, I think, on this booth. But I think it's been a few weeks. I think it's fair to let you guys put in your impressions at this point, since I think we've gotten a share of what he offers for Monday Night Raw. So I think it's fair for you guys to say exactly how you're feeling on Verk right now.
I mean, it wasn't great, but, you know, it's still 2 weeks on the job, 2 or 3 weeks, you know. I feel bad for him. I really do. You know, it's I don't think he was really put in a situation to succeed. You know, I think they pretty much threw him to the wolves. And wrestling commentary is tough, especially when you've never done it before. And especially in WWE, where you've got an old man yelling in your ear the entire time. But, so you got to think any form of like momentum or like a fluid, like going through the motions that he did have, you know, he probably has people in his ear yelling at him. So like he isn't great. But I'm not ready to jump on him yet. If he had been here for like years and this was still the product, the outcome, then sure. But I don't know. I still think it's a little too late to, or too early to completely destroy this man. I feel bad. I really do. I made a joke about it at the beginning of the show, but I do feel bad for the guy because like, I feel like this is probably a job he really wanted. And anytime anybody gets a job that they wanted or a job in general, you know, you don't want to be bad at your job. So I hope it turns around, but you know, I know Austin's going to eviscerate him here in a minute. So I'm just trying to get, I'm trying to get my opinion on him of, I think it's too early. Go ahead, Amir.
I will say, I think for him, I'm going to be so honest with you. If it's the booth he's with, that's what makes it not as bad for me. The booth is already so bad and was so bad before. I mean, provided that Joe was there, but without him, it was already rough. I mean, let the guy, it's not like he's working with someone who's actually good to, you know, kind of get some lessons from. He's working with Byron Saxton and Corey. I don't know what happened to Corey because I thought Corey used to be good. I don't know what went left. But so, I mean, I can't really be upset at him not getting like good. He doesn't really have anything to work with. Like, the guy's just there. He doesn't really take away from the show for me, and he adds literally nothing to the show.
He's the guy. He's the guy. He's the middle guy in the booth, right?
He's a well.
And Austin, don't weigh in on your opinion, but kind of like give weigh in on this. Like, if he's the middle guy in the booth, isn't like the middle guy in the booth like the main commentator in the booth?
Oh
like,
no, he's play by play. Yeah, 100%.
And yeah, and play-by-play is supposed to be like the guy. And honestly, I think that's where they really messed up. I don't think you can put a guy play-by-play this early into his run. Like, what's the harm in putting him, literally, even if you want him to still do play-by-play, but just put somebody in there that knows play, like honestly, I think if you paired him up with like a Michael Cole, I think he'd do a lot better. Because Michael Cole, while he's not that, like, overall, like, you know, we all know what Michael Cole is, you know, he's okay. But he's done play-by-play long enough, and, you know, I really think Michael Cole could have, even if he just, like, showed the dude the ropes and, like, kind of said, like, you know, this is what I do, and just sitting next to him, watching him do commentary, even if it was for, like, a month or two, have Michael Cole do it with him, have it be, like, Corey Graves, Michael Cole, and this guy, learn from Michael Cole, and then in a couple months, take Michael Cole off and let him be the lead guy for Raw. Like, the thing is you're putting him in Raw. He's, like, the play-by-play guy in Raw, and Raw's your flagship show. Like, honestly, he should still be in like an NXT UK or like an NXT, or even like I said last week. Oh, I guess we didn't record last week, so it didn't happen. But in main event, put him in a main event. Have him be in a show that doesn't get that many eyes to really develop your ability. And then I think he does a lot better. I feel like they really rushed him and have set him up for failure.
All right, here I go on this situation. And I think Chad's going to be seeing a side that he didn't think with me with this situation, because I think the first instinct people think with me on commentators is to instantaneously dog on them. No. The thing with Virk is exactly what y'all said. And it's what I've been saying for fucking years. They set this man up to fail. Virk was put in a position where you were literally put to commentate one of their flag shows, the main guy for commentary. And it's in a three-man booth, so they gave him a little bit of wiggle room where he could have some space to kind of just sit and watch Corey Graves and Byron Saxton go back and forth and then try to figure out where his voice would fit there. But they still put him on play-by-play. The reason why we were all so over the moon happy with the performance of Pat McAfee on SmackDown is because he was put in as a color guy. So he got to be a lot more character performing with that position, and he didn't have to call every spot. He didn't have to really push the storylines, be the main pushing force in getting the stories over to the audience. Verk has to be that guy, and he's not that guy right now. He doesn't have a full understanding of what's going on the program because he's never been a wrestling guy. And it's what I've been saying for years. WWE does not hire wrestling people to call play-by-play wrestling. They don't do it. And I hate that they don't do it, but they just don't do it. So Verk, given this position where he was put on Raw immediately after Tom Phillips left Raw, because honestly, if Tom Phillips was still on and like Adnan Verk was like doing backstage reporting and stuff like that, and then would get like time off with Tom Phillips to try to find his voice before he took Tom Phillips' spot, like him training his basically his protege at this point before he left. And like he was going to do some other stuff, like Verk could offer experience to him as he goes to do actual sports broadcasting outside, because man's been doing NHL Network, MLB Network, ESPN, all this stuff. So they could have traded information back and forth as they were both doing different things. But they threw him to the Sharks. And of course he's going to fail. And I don't want that to be the case for him. I want him to improve, and I want him to be a good voice, because when the commentary sucks, trust me, nobody else but the audience is suffering more when it comes to bad commentary on a wrestling show. Back when JBL, Michael Cole, and David Otunga were the main three commentators on Monday Night Raw, it was goddamn unlistenable, because JBL was completely irritating. Michael Cole, people already didn't like and didn't like as a play-by-play guy. And David Otunga literally could just be invisible, because for far as I know, he did literally nothing on commentary. So I want Adnan Verk to truly settle in and become a good commentator and get to the point where he finds his voice and he's able to bounce off of Byron Saxton and Corey Graves. But right now, with WWE throwing him on the head play-by-play commentating position, not color, not backstage, nothing, they straight up put him on play-by-play on his first few weeks on Raw. Of course he's gonna fail, because the company literally just set him up to fail. You put him backstage and doing interviews and stuff like that. They at least had the guy from American Gladiators doing backstage reporting and shit like that before he got put on commentary. He still didn't do good, but they didn't at least throw him immediately to the Sharks. He just happened to screw up. He just happened to screw up on his first on-air appearance at the Royal Rumble.
Who's the guy that they had in commentary? And then he got, like, beat up by Samoa Joe, and now he's in Retribution. Dio Madden, right?
Yeah, Madden.
Yeah, it was kind of like, with that, like, I forgot. It was so long ago when he did commentary, but did he do good? Like, were people a fan of him?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know if he really stuck around enough for people to have an opinion on him, but he didn't trend on Twitter, I will say.
Which one?
Dio Madden.
Oh, that's a name I can't remember.
He's in Retribution right now.
Really? They lit a...
Well, here's the thing. I don't remember if he's T-Bar or Slapjack. He's one of the two.
Razor.
T-Bar. He was T-Bar, because Slapjack was the dude from the Mighty Don't Kneel.
Yeah. No. He's Mace. T-Bar is Dominic Dijakovic. Slapjack is the one no one cares about. Because the reason is, I want to get off the commentary talk, because I've already really said all I can say. I hope Verk gets better, but like literally, Vince and company, you're fucking up your commentary booth by putting these guys in with no experience. You're fucking it up. But we need to talk about this, because literally, while we did an episode last week talking about what happened on Raw, you could literally copy and paste what we said last week, because what happened on Raw was literally, like, glued from last week.
Can I just jump in? Because I got to get this off my chest really quick.
Go ahead.
Please do.
Raw is like, we need to change the name of Raw to Insanity. You know how the movie definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome? Every single week it has been the exact same show from start to finish, with not anything being different. Like, not a single thing. It's the exact same show. It's like Austin was about to say, it's copy and paste, but I think it's worse than copy and paste. I think it's where you ask the guy, hey, can you change up the notes a little bit? Or like, yeah, you can copy my notes, but can you change it just a smidge? And they copy it word for word. If you told me that Vince was in the bag and he took the script from last week and then just gave it to everybody and said, this is what we're going to do this week, but this time Bobby Lashley's going to show up this time, I wouldn't be shocked. It is literally insanity.
You know what this is? This is what happens when this is Vince McMahon printing off an incorrect cheat sheet for his exam and then proceeding to use the exact same incorrect cheat sheet for the next exam.
Yeah, it's insanity. It's like, what is going, who is making the notes back there? How do you do the exact same show?
So we have, what we have is a, we have an opening match where it's a handicap match between Mason T-Bar against Braun Strowman, where last week it was Drew McIntyre. The match ends in a DQ, but then the other person comes out and interrupts and tries to save the other person. Then it gets turned into a tag match, and last week it ended in a DQ. This week it ended in a countout. This is literally storytelling poison. This is the worst I've seen this show in years. I have not seen Raw in such a state. And maybe yeah, it's a combination
it's really not good.
Maybe it's a combination of the fact that they're still doing Thunderdome performances and they're still not doing great in terms of putting on shows with no fans. Maybe that's the case. And that is still a sucky situation to be in, because while the Thunderdome looks cool, it's not ideal for pro wrestling.
Here's the thing. We've been doing this now for over a year. You look at other wrestling companies who are in the exact same situation that WWE is in. AEW shows, still good. Like, Impact shows, still good. If the Thunderdome doesn't work, get rid of the Thunderdome. If the Thunderdome is causing, if you're blaming the Thunderdome for your show being poor, get rid of it and use the 90 wrestlers that you just are paying to eat catering in the back, put them in the audience and have them be your audience.
And people don't know who they are anyway. So
AEW does it and it's awesome. Do that and stop awesome. because if the Thunderdome is truly the reason, which I don't think it is. I think it's their writing team is just atrocious.
It is.
But if that's going to be the excuse that you're giving us, then instead of using that, we need to see you try to fix it. And if you get rid of the Thunderdome and it still sucks, which it would, then you blame something else. And eventually you're forced to make a change. But just doing the exact same thing. And I said this during the last iteration of Pindos, and it was my famous thing. Like, it doesn't matter what they do, because our asses will still drag ourselves every single week to watch it. Until people stop watching, they're not going to change. Because like, fucking slappies like us are going to stroll up every single week and go, it's so bad, but then do nothing different. We're still going to watch, and they know that, and that's why it's the same. That's not our fault. That's still on their fault. They're still running a TV show, and they're shitting on their fan base. But, like, I think until they have a reason to change, I don't think they do.
Yeah, but it's like, why do they hate us? What did I do? I thought, like, I feel like I did nothing to them. It's one of those ones. And it's weird to me because it's like, even if I think, and I know this is a dead argument because nothing will literally ever change with this. It is impossible for these things to change. But I feel like it's like they get that third hour and freak the fuck out. It's like, they don't know what to do with that. Because SmackDown, okay.
SmackDown is so good.
Yeah, at least it tells a story. Raw, it just seems like they look at it, they're like, ooh, that 3 hours, we got to find a way to stretch it. While at the same time giving women, like, maybe 10 seconds to fight. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. It's like, what did I do to earn this? Like,
you know,
people like me, I feel like I'm the demographic that they're after. People who left and are attempting to come back. I left, and I'm attempting to come back, but they are making it really hard for me to stay. Like, each week when it's time to watch Raw, I'm like, oh, man. If I see another Miz and Maryse promo, I'm going to lose my mind. I get it's coming out, but stop it. I'm over it.
I really think, and this was bad. So let me explain my thought and you guys weigh in, because they tried doing something like this before when they did Raw Underground and it sucked. But I think if you got the right idea, if you had a 3 hour Raw, but you devoted 1 hour of your 3 hour show for something else, whether it's a 205 live type hour block of cruiserweight action with different stories, whether it's an hour of like a women's wrestling based hour of shows, or something to that's not Raw. It can still take place on Raw, but it's called something else. It's a new wrestling show in the middle. It's something that like it's a palate cleanser. It gives us something new to watch for that hour. And then on this third hour of Raw, you can pick back up on what the first hour set up. I think if they could do something like that, it would challenge them creative wise, which we love, because it would force them to be creative, which we know they can do. It would allow wrestlers who don't get the spotlight to get booked, which we love. And I think it would be, like I said, a palate cleanser and something to we could watch to take to give us something to just unwind while we get ready for like the main event. What do you guys think?
I think it's an idea, but I will say I don't think the USA network would be happy with that decision, because they want that third hour to be like the way that it is, because it still rakes in ad revenue for them.
Well, no, the third hour, you keep it the exact same. You have the first hour to set up the third hour. The first hour is like your main storyline, the introductions to your main storylines for the show. The second half of the show, the second hour, is your cruiserweights, the guys that you're not doing anything with, have them just go put on banger matches and have something else to do. Put some kind of other story in the second act. And then the third hour is the payoff to the first hour. And that's where you get all the ad revenue. That's where all your stars wrestle in the main event. And you have all of
this. Okay. I was going to say I'm going to change your idea just a bit. The first hour, I say it goes hour one is the one that you devote to something else. And then that second, at 9 o'clock to 11, that could be Raw. The original time slot that Raw was, you give them that. That 8 p.m. though, I feel like you either devote it to you. I don't want to say give it to Triple H, because I don't want to give it to Triple H, but you give it to one of the NXT writers or something like that. Let them just get an hour of a lead in into NXT on Tuesday or whatever. NXT comes on Tuesdays now, right? Or did they move it again?
No, it's Tuesdays.
I just kind of feel like your first hour needs to be, because like you got to imagine from a TV
Tuesday.
Yep, it's Tuesdays.
Yeah, you cut out, Amir, so I don't know if you were talking, but you cut out for us. So
Tuesday, and then go from there.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. You kind of cut out, so we didn't really hear your whole thought. But I just think you're back.
I was going to say, take the first hour and make it NXT, and then give 9 to 11 to be Raw.
You're on thin ice, Craig.
Let NXT be a lead-in to Tuesday, then 9 to 10 is just Raw. That's my idea. I think that'd be optimal, because you get eyes that wouldn't watch NXT to watch NXT.
It's a good idea, but my only thing is I feel like your first hour is going to be where you get the most eyes, because it's your show is starting. So your first hour and your third hour, everybody dips out after the second hour because it's like it's just so long. And the second hour is usually where they have like the filler that's terrible. So I feel, and that's why I feel like
even though the first hour for this Raw was literally hot garbage. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Of course. But I don't know. They got to do something. They're never going to go back to 2 hour Raws. So we're stuck with 3 hour.
Yeah, here's my big thing, at least for Raw, because here's my biggest issue with Raw is that not even the fact that it's 3 hours. My biggest issue with Raw is that every single week it's the same motherfuckers. And I like the people that are on TV, at least some of them. I like the people that I like Drew. I like Bobby. I tolerate Braun. I hate Retribution. I like The New Day. I like Miz. I like a good amount of these people. But your roster is fucking massive, even though you just cut 10 people for no reason. And honest to God, dude, I need it to be a thing where, like, every other week, you fucking put different people on the show. I need different people. You have enough people on your roster where you can have storylines that span through your roster for different people. And, like, dude, fucking Ricochet has done nothing. Why the hell is Ricochet not having a storyline right now? Why can't you figure out something to do with that man?
Even if you don't even have to give him a big storyline, but just give him time to do good matches. Exactly. Ricochet's so easy. Give him 10 minutes, have a banger of a match, send him to the back. Like, it's Ricochet. It's easy. He gets over, you get him a storyline. Like, it's just guys like Ricochet. Guys like, oh man, there's just so many to even name. There's just so many. That's just,
dude, I'm telling you, it's absolutely infuriating to see like how thin their roster seems to be, even though it's not the case. It's not the case.
Guys like Aleister Black, dude. Like,
I'm glad he's getting easy. I'm glad he's getting stuff to do too.
God, they're gonna ruin him.
I was gonna say no, he's not, because he's just reading books and telling me I suck. That's all he's doing right now.
I mean, at least it leads into something where he eventually gets on TV. I will say,
remember Eve Emelina?
Here's the biggest thing. Like what Chad said a couple weeks ago. Where the fuck is Keith Lee?
Yeah.
Where the fuck is Keith Lee?
So they were grooming him to be like your next star, and I forgot he worked there.
And they gave up on him that quickly. So your roster is large enough where you can literally like. And also, here's the thing they completely forgot about too. Remember when they had that bullshit ass wild card rule just so they could get people on SmackDown and people on Raw?
Like, I'm glad they don't have that anymore.
You know what? I could fucking use people on SmackDown showing up on Raw to make it more interesting.
No.
I don't give a shit about the brand split because they don't either.
Oh, I do. Just keep. I don't want any of my SmackDown guys to even be near those Raw guys.
I mean, I personally love the brand split, and I think it should be something that they never get rid of. But the reason why I like the brand split is because their roster is so big. I like that it gives people an opportunity to do things that they wouldn't get a chance to do. But the problem is right now they're not booking anything because their creative is so terrible.
Yes, they're not Raw booking is literally other people on their Raw roster.
Raw is literally the same like 15 people.
Yeah, it's Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Alexa Bliss, Randy Orton, fucking Sheamus, The New Day, Miz, Morrison, all that kind of shit. Charlotte and MVP.
Will say though, RK Bro, all about it.
I'm all about RK Bro too. But what I need to know is that why the fuck have you just decided we're gonna kill Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander? Like, why is this all of a sudden being a thing? Like, why? It makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense to me that the seemingly reason that you're going to put in Mason T-Bar in the Hurt Business and then just let Cedric and fucking Shelton just flounder losing 3 weeks in a row. Like, why am I supposed to care? Like, where was the point where Cedric and fucking Shelton Benjamin get any kind of revenge on the Hurt Business? Where was any point where they go and do something against Bobby Lashley? Which, yeah, of course they'd probably lose, but just, I don't, like, I'm all for RK-Bro. I don't like seeing talent get wasted. Cedric Alexander is so fucking good. He's so good. And I don't know why, there's no idea why they just get cut from the Hurt Business and then just get replaced with fucking Mason T-Bar. Which, call them what they are. Dio Madden and Dominic Dijakovic. Those names are fucking stupid. Retribution is dead. No one cares anymore. Call them by their names.
Even with Mustafa Ali, though, too, he's another guy that, like, would thrive in another company. Cedric Alexander would thrive somewhere else.
Mustafa Ali, dude, like, with Retribution, they gave them a couple weeks of cool promos and then revealed he was also the SmackDown hacker. But then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, well, he's talking about, like, how WWE acts as a company and how like they rely on nostalgia and all these old timers. So we're just going to have him lose every single week. They're literally doing to him what they did to the fucking Ascension, where they were like, all these old timers are shit. And then they get beat by the said old timers for a wasted pop.
Well, that makes sense because they stole the gimmick of Ascension.
But they didn't steal the gimmick. They were given the fucking Road Warriors gimmick for no fucking reason, even though in NXT they already had their dominant gimmick.
No, I'm saying Mason T-Bar stole the Ascension gimmick.
Of course.
They basically looked like Ascension 2.0, but without bit of charisma.
Yeah, or like I said, oh my God, Raw has never been worse. I genuinely don't think Raw has ever been worse. You can make an argument that like back in the 90s before the Attitude Era, it was worse. You can make an argument for that, but I mean, in my lifetime,
2010s were rough.
They were rough.
2010s were pretty bad.
From in my lifetime, it's not been this bad. And like, and I think the worst thing about it is the fact that I enjoy Drew McIntyre and shit like that, and I enjoy Bobby Lashley, and I enjoy a lot of people on this roster, but they just make it so baffling. It's simple shit you can do right. Simple things like don't book the same match back to back and end in the exact same way 2 weeks in a row. Just don't do that. That's a simple thing to do. Don't do that.
Do something different. I don't know where most of the storylines are going. Like, I know it's supposed to be Drew versus Bobby, but it almost
Braun got put into the fucking triple threat match.
Make it a six-way at this point. Put in Mason T-Bar and just go for it.
I don't know if we should do it six-way, but hey, Braun's definitely in there to take the pin.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm saying, like, you know Mason T-Bar are going to interfere anyway. Like, so, I mean, why not at this point?
Oh, yeah, no, it's 100% going to be this case where they interfere, Bobby retains, and then that's like, it's where we officially get the Hurt Business with Mason T-Bar, where no one cares. It's the simple fact of it, and, like, dude, it's like, you just had something so simple, like they stumbled across something that was so good with the Hurt Business, and they just fucking put too many fucking cooks in the goddamn kitchen again. It's like...
I think it's because they get scared. Like, if they have something going too right, they're like, we gotta fuck it up somehow.
Or they do shit for swerve factors. Like, oh shit, anything can happen in WWE.
That's what I think it really comes down to. I think a lot of it is they just don't know when to properly, like, you know, you look at the Hurt Business and it was so good, and you gotta believe that they were like, oh, what's some last minute mania drama we could have? Well, let's break up the Hurt Business. Like, I just think they don't let things breathe, which is so weird because you look at the New Day, and they've handled the New Day for the most part pretty well. They haven't ever ran like a breakup angle. The New Day are probably going to be the New Day for the rest of their careers. So I don't know how you can take something like the New Day, which if this was any other stable, they would have been broken up like six times by now and gotten back together. But yeah, you take like a guy like a company like or a faction like the Hurt Business that was just so good. And then they were like, let's break them up immediately.
Well,
like,
actually, I will say the reason why I think so is because I think that the New Day comes from that newer school where, like, they're the first group to say, we're not going to do that specifically because I'm not going to listen to you, Vince, because you want us to break up something when we know better for ourselves than you really do. Well, I think Shelton Benjamin and all of them come from that old days where it was like, Vince told me go out there and run a tag team match with Mark Henry. I'm gonna run a tag team with Mark Henry. Like, it's like they come from that old days where Vince was like, where Vince tells me what to do, I go out and do it, I collect my paycheck and I go home.
Yeah, but even so, at the end of the day, if Vince says we're breaking up the New Day, there's nothing the New Day can do about it. Like,
at this point, you don't think so? I think Austin Creed has built up a name enough where he can be like, all right, I'll leave.
I mean, he's under contract, so, like, you know, yeah, he can ask for his release, but they can just send him. I'm just saying, like, if It's not like they're walking in and saying, hey, we're breaking up the New Day, and they're saying, no, you're not, and they're going, all right, fair enough. Go back up to a six-man.
Well, also, Xavier's not going to leave anywhere anytime soon because he's literally signed to G4, and that's through WWE. So, like, if he leaves, the G4 deal goes up in smoke.
Exactly. So I think he has pull now.
But, like, WWE, like, why the fuck do they care about G4? They just want to get in on it. Like, if Xavier wasn't on G4, they wouldn't care.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, I feel like he's gotten some type of pull through his YouTube channel, through the G4. Like, Xavier's gotten some pull. I think they have a little bit of, since they've been there, I think Vince is more willing to listen to them. Are they more willing to at least say something as opposed to others?
I think at the end of the day, it comes down to there's more money in the New Day as the New Day than there is money in them not being the New Day.
Yeah, like, but that's the same thing with the Hurt Business. There's more money in the Hurt Business.
Well, you would think so, and I agree with you. I certainly think there is. But somehow, some person in creative thought we'd make more money if it was just MVP and Bobby Lashley and the two schmucks from Retribution, and that person should be fired because that's a horrible decision. Like I said, I don't think last week's podcast aired, but I mean, I don't think, I know it didn't. But like I said last week, the Hurt Business is like the first, like, wrestling merchandise I purchased in – a long time. Like, I purchased our Hurt Business t-shirt. So, like, you know, I cared enough to buy merch from them. And now they're not a thing. And that sucks because I thought they were so cool. I still think about that one week on Raw where they all came out wearing suits and, like, walking down the aisle to fight Retribution. Like, that was badass, and they were cool. And now they're nothing. Well, I mean, Bobby Lashley and MVP are still a thing. But, like, the group isn't a thing, and that sucks.
It's just the simple fact of the matter, and we'll move on from this after this point, I feel like. The simple fact of the matter is just the fact that with WWE, there's such a want to, like, fight, I feel like, against what people are saying about what the product's like on the internet. There is such an instance to fight back. And I think the other thing, too, is that Vince truly takes a weird displeasure of pissing off and mispleasing the fans.
I was going to say, because you said there was, like, you said they're, like, desperately trying to, like, fight the perception. I think it's the opposite.
No, what I mean is, like, the perception is what the fans want it to be, and they're fighting against that, being like, no, fuck you. You don't get what you want. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, and here's the reason why is I can say that, because I think this point was made very well by Adam Blompier a while ago, and I want to share this, because when Vince was on the Stone Cold podcast back on the network, when it was the same podcast where he talked about making a gritted apology to CM Punk after the podcast with Colt Cabana, the one moment where Vince truly was relaxed in that interview was when he talked about what he felt was the funniest thing in the world. And that was shoving an unexpected person into a swimming pool. And he said, quote, "It's the look on their face when they're floating in the air. It's the funniest thing in the world." So, leads you one way and then shoves you another way.
I will say, though, I think that there's a lot of resentment, too, that Vince has with the fans for how the Daniel Bryan situation went. Even though, like, Daniel Bryan literally had nothing to do with that, like, he couldn't have helped it. I think there's a lot of resentment for, I gave you guys what you wanted, and then it didn't work out. And that's not to blame the fans. It's just Bryan had what he went through. So I think that's a part of it, too. It's like, we gave it to you one time, and then it ended up, at the end of the day, screwing us. So I'll never give it to you again.
Vince doesn't want to placate to, like, what the fans want the story to be. He wants the story
just
to be
a matter, what he wants it to be. I think it's just a matter of, you have a man running a wrestling company who was very, very successful. I mean, he's still successful, but, like, his vision of wrestling was very, very good a very, very long time ago. And he's very set in his ways. And at the end of the day, as long as he's making his millions of dollars, that's all he cares about. He got to a point to where he built something and it's working and he's making money hand over fist. And there's no reason for him to change it because he's a businessman. He was a businessman before he was in the wrestling business. He was a businessman during, and he's a businessman now. As long as he's making money, there's no reason for him to change anything. And that's unfortunately where I think we're at.
He beat Ted Turner. How could he ever be wrong? It's that simple.
And even with AEW being as popular as it is, there's no way WWE goes out of business. No matter how successful any company is, WWE isn't going anywhere. So there's no reason for Vince to do anything. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. I'll keep doing what I believe is the good product. And that's what it comes down to.
It's literally the promo from I just have the fucking pipe up in my head. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. That quote rings in my head every time shit goes hits the fan and fans start complaining. It's the same time every time. Every fucking time. But
yeah,
I want to move off of this and I want to talk about something positive. I want to talk about, I feel like, the true hype that there is around next week's Blood and Guts show for AEW. Because, I mean, we're literally getting War Games, but in AEW, and it's with Chris Jericho's faction of badasses and MJF's faction of badasses. And I genuinely think this could, like, I feel like walking into this show, because how AEW's numbers took a dive this week for Dynamite, because the goddamn president felt the need to talk. damn it, you took away my numbers for Dynamite. But regardless, I have a very strong inclination that going into Blood and Guts, this could be AEW's highest rated show of all time on Dynamite. Because this Blood and Guts match, I think, with all the talent that's in there and how crazily good this match is setting up to be, like, the rest of the show will be the rest of the show. Like, they got Cody versus QT. They've got, like, a four-way elimination match where SCU is going to be facing off against Jurassic Express, not the Hollywood Blondes, but the Varsity Blondes, and then the Acclaimed, and a couple other matches. But it's mainly the Blood and Guts match. And I just want to get your guys' thoughts leading into this match, because, like, the build for the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle has been a lot of fun, I feel like. And just seeing what this match is going to do, like, I think this is a match where I think Sammy Guevara could be set up to be a fucking star, as they set him up to be the first guy in for the Inner Circle, where he'll probably be the Iron Man. And it's setting up to be really fucking good.
It's going to be great. There's also Nakazawa and Kenny Omega teaming up against Eddie Kingston and John Moxley, which I find just fascinating. Like, what an odd tag team match.
And it all got set up because Nakazawa was going to get his leg broken, and then all of a sudden Kenny Omega was going to get his leg broken, and Don Callis was just like, okay, I'll make the match.
Yeah. So it was weird. But no, the match is going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I always love me a good war game. War Games is great. And everybody in that match is fantastic. And I really hope the Pinnacle get a win. I think the Pinnacle need the win more than the Inner Circle do. So I really hope the Pinnacle win. We'll have to see. I just feel like my only gripe with this feud is I just feel like the Pinnacle have been made to look like dummies the entire time. It's just been the Inner Circle dunking on them in every chance they get. Like, even when, like, the Pinnacle get a little bit of heat on them, the next week the Inner Circle just are complete badasses and just shit on them.
I think the issue is just Jericho being Jericho as a babyface and just, like, being a fucking savage.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, how could you boo? Like, I don't. And again, I don't hate the feud. I've loved the feud, but that's my only thing. Is I don't think the Pinnacle have really gotten any moment other than the introduction that they had to AEW, where I really thought, wow, like, they really got one over on them. And so I really think that they need to win this Blood and Guts match.
Yeah, and I think my mindset is that they will. And I think, wow, like, it's been a war of words, basically, between MJF versus Jericho and these two just trading fiery promos at each other, trying to drop bombs on each other. The parlay where each group got to say shit to each other was great. I loved how each of them, like, came out with loads of security. Inner Circle came out on fucking Harleys, and they just had just each other just slinging words at each other. They didn't get physical. They just all laid it out there and just said what was going to happen. And I feel like it's just because we're so familiar with the Inner Circle as the Inner Circle, and Jericho is just Jericho, whereas the Pinnacle, for the most part, is a lot of younger guys, besides Tully. And, like, it's still a lot of – it's a new faction, so it's – while the big moment was what got them over, like, Inner Circle is still what people get used to seeing, and I think it's just the way it is. But I think them just beating the shit out of the Inner Circle – and being the victors will be what makes them a dominant faction in AEW, and I think that's what will be the outcome. At least that's what I'm hoping, at least. If Inner Circle wins, fine. I'm not really going to be furious about it. But
I won't be mad at all. I think the match is going to be great.
Yeah.
What do you think, Amir?
Do we still have him, or have we lost him?
We still have Amir. Is Amir gone? You're on thin ice, Craig.
He's trying. He's trying, I know.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're good. I'm here. Hello.
Okay, yeah, Craig is going for it. No, I actually think, as a person who hasn't really watched AEW this much and wants to get into it more, I actually think that this show, like, coming in at the War Games, I love War Games. I think War Games is one of the best gimmicks that were ever made as a match, and I can't wait to see how this happens. I think Jericho working this, it has to be a good match. I kind of wish it was the full show. Like, I kind of wish, like, War Games was the entire show, which is kind of a bummer a little bit. But besides that, I think it's awesome. I can't wait to see it. I want to see all these new guys I haven't got to see yet in the Pinnacle. I love seeing Tully do stuff, but also Yeah, I am hyped to see. I think Sammy Guevara has been set up to be the guy, or the guy in AEW, for a very long time. So it's good to see if he can finally take that next step.
Oh yeah, I love how Sammy Guevara has been set up, and I'm really excited to see how that goes for him. And like, he's just really fucking good, and I think there's a good it's set up really well for him to succeed, and I hope that's the case. We also need to talk about the fucking belt collector Kenny Omega. we were doing our Rebellion predictions in the last episode. That obviously didn't come out because of technical issues, and we were gonna try to do a review of Rebellion, but we just never really got the time to do so. But we gotta talk about Kenny Omega, because in Rebellion, Kenny Omega beat Rich Swann and got the Impact World Champion. He is now Triple Champion, AEW World Champion, AAA Mega Champion, and Impact World Champion. The man is just becoming Thanos at this point. Literally, it's Ring of Honor next, then New Japan, then WWE. And it is all for Kenny Omega to just reign over wrestling. The match was really strong, honestly, and the show itself, Rebellion, was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. But that's just, it's just nuts to me that Kenny now has fucking 3 world championships in 3 separate fucking companies. Like, saying that now, imagining saying that to me like a few years ago, I would have been like, you're a fucking crackhead.
No, the Rebellion was very, very good. I think I got almost all of my predictions correct. I got the X Division one wrong. Josh Alexander won.
I got that one right, actually.
Yeah, which was great. Josh Alexander crushed it. Very, very, very good. The Knockouts tag team match was very good. Finn Juice versus Gallows and Anderson was very good. I was very surprised Finn Juice won. I wasn't upset about it. I love Finn Juice. I just, you know, going down the line real quick, Big Cass debuting surprised me.
Yeah, he was filling in for Eric Young.
I wasn't prepared for the Big Cass appearance, but he did really good. And he actually was really good on Impact this week too. I don't know if you saw that, but he cut a promo saying he cut a promo saying everybody in the business are jerks. The difference is I'm not hiding it. And he like squashed some poor man. It was good. I'm excited to see what he does. But yeah, man, Kenny Omega has consistently proven what I've been saying for so long, which is he's like the best wrestler in the world. Kenny Omega's the man, and I'm really excited to see what happens next. If you asked me what I thought, I would say I think Major League Wrestling would be getting in on that. But I saw a report this week that WWE was in talks with buying Major League Wrestling. So I really hope that doesn't happen, but I saw a report that it might. You have to imagine, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Nick Aldis versus Kenny Omega at some point for the NWA championship. I feel like Ring of Honor would love the shot in the arm to be working with AEW. I'm excited to see what happens. Do we think he adds another world championship to the mix?
Well, there is a little bit of an issue to seeing if he continues to hold all 3 titles, because also Andrade showed up on AAA and he challenged Kenny Omega to face him at Triple Mania for the AAA Mega Championship.
That's going to be so good.
That's a selling point for your show right there, dude. You get Andrade free from WWE being in AAA facing off against Kenny Omega. Like, what a fucking way to come out of WWE to just be like, oh, I'm going to wrestle the best wrestler in the world for one of his championships. Oh,
that match is going to be just so good.
Yeah, I'm so fucking hyped for it. I'm just, yeah, like everything like that's happening outside of WWE for the most part, there's a few things in WWE that are still kind of exciting, but everything outside of WWE is what's keeping me enthralled in wrestling right now. And honestly, the fucking A&E specials have been exciting for me to watch too. Those have been really good.
I haven't watched a single minute of those.
Yeah, I haven't watched one either.
They're good. The WWE Lost Treasures is really weird, I will say. I watched the Mick Foley one where he was trying to find an old Mankind jacket. He was trying to find a Dude Love something, I think. And then he was trying to find Cactus Jack fucking flannel. And
is it like WWE meets like American Pickers?
Kind of where like they go to super fans' houses that are like super collectors of WWE like stuff that they've won at auctions and stuff like that, and they try to buy it off of them or get it off of them so they can bring it to the WWE archives. For the Mick Foley episode, there was only one guy that was like super okay with him doing something. He was literally just like, "Can I call my kids over and then we watch like one of your matches and like just all hang out for a little bit?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure. Then you get the jacket." The rest of them were just like super like, "I will not give this up unless you like give me a kidney or something." It was really weird.
Yeah, but I mean, to be quite honest with you, if I bought wrestling merchandise off of the internet and paid top dollar for it, and Mick Foley bangs on my door and says, "Yo, I want to buy it," I don't think I sell it to him either unless I get top dollar. So I don't blame them.
Another guy wanted to get the Cactus Jack flannel, and he convinced them to give him a tour of the actual WWE archives, and he got one of Mick Foley's old barbed wire 2x4s.
Oh, that's a good trade.
He fucking swindled the hell out of them for that. And I think he also got like $1,700 for it too.
That's a good trade. That's a good
Made out like a bandit.
Yeah, he really did, dude. He put him over a barrel for that shit. But regardless, the AAA match is going to be insane. We got to also talk about getting back to WWE stuff, though, on SmackDown, where we might have seen the last of Daniel Bryan in WWE. We've been hearing all over how he's been talking about wanting to work in other promotions. He got his chance to face off against Roman Reigns for the Universal Champion this week on SmackDown. If he lost, he had to leave SmackDown. He ended up losing the match and then got concertoed by Roman Reigns as Cesaro stood and watching, and they're building towards that, which Cesaro continuing to get a push. I hope they keep their foot on the pedal for it. I love Cesaro getting a push. But yeah, I mean, like, do we truly think Daniel Bryan's gone from WWE and starts working in other promotions? Or
what's his contract situation like? Do we know that?
I would have to. I could do some looking on it right now, and then you can give me your thoughts. I'll check.
That's the answer, though. Like, if his contract is up, then sure. But if it's not, then no. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, they're certainly not going to release Daniel Bryan.
His contract Daniel Bryan has clarified his contract does not expire until September.
Okay, so I mean, September's a long ways away.
I doubt he sits at home for that many months.
I mean, he might spend some time with his kid, but I could see him at the very most taking time off until like SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's tough because like September is far away, kind of. But I don't know if they want it. They could sit him at home and him just be a dad until his contract is up in September. But I surmise that they would want to make money off of Daniel Bryan while they have him if he's going to leave. So I wouldn't be surprised if in like a few weeks we see him on Raw.
That's possible. But I do think the idea might be that they just pay him just to stay home, and then like maybe they try to re-sign him possibly in September to see if his mind has changed.
I just don't think that's what they do. You know, I just think it's Daniel Bryan. He's a draw. And if you're going to lose him in September, you get him you use him while you can.
Like, I don't know why they would book him, though, to leave SmackDown if they're not going to like
put him on Raw
off TV for a while.
And to make us wonder, is Daniel Bryan leaving, and to draw up drama? So then when he shows up on Raw, it's like,
we're just
like,
oh. Yeah. He's like, oh, he's still there, whatever.
And then we can build up, a feud where Daniel Bryan is the guy who beats Bobby Lashley and wins the WWE Championship. Okay. And he goes with it until SummerSlam, where he loses, and then he goes away.
Okay, hold on. Let me jump in here, because I'm sick of the disrespect. We are not going to talk about a tribesman and not mention a tribal chief getting him up out of there. The tribal chief his respect first. You mentioned him first, and then that other guy. The tribal chief, Roman Reigns, these two disrespectful guys came in and mentioned whoever, Brian Daniels, whatever they're calling him now. The tribal chief did what he said he was going to do once again, as always. And he sent that piece of trash over to Raw.
Jesus.
I'm going to say it. Roman Reigns, I'm in. I'm 100%. I'm acknowledging the chief. I am acknowledging my tribal chief.
All right.
I'm all in also, but no, I don't but think you I'm said call Brian Daniel first. Bryan. I don't think I'm gonna call Daniel Bryan. Well, that was the question.
Hey, if the tribal chief calls him trash, I'm calling him trash. I'm in. I'm in with the tribal chief. I'm in with the big match J. Well, okay. I'm not all the way in with big match J, but I'm in there with the tribal chief. He did what he wanted to do. I'm loving every single second of this. I don't know where he got new music this week. We didn't even acknowledge that. New that tribal chief music. This man, he's MVP of this year. He is holding up the WWE on his shoulders right now. That man has.
I agree with that. He's the hottest act in the company.
Yes, it hurts my soul that they have held us from the tribal chief from getting this good of stuff for so long. This is what we've all been begging for, and they've held us from this. And now I'm getting to watch him do so many amazing things. And I think him and Cesaro are going to tear the house down when they actually get a chance to face each other. I mean, of course, the tribal chief is going to win and Cesaro is going to acknowledge him. But, I mean, they're going to tear the house down. These two guys, I cannot wait for it. I just wish Seth would go away and go do something else. I'm so ready for this match. I'm so ready for this match. I can put this match in my veins. I need it.
Cesaro versus Roman is going to be very, very, very good. Surely Cesaro won't win. Because
even though he should.
Not yet, but obviously.
No,
I think this victory is really good for Cesaro because it at least puts him up there with the rest.
If they have, like, the next pay-per-view is, like, Roman versus Cesaro, and Cesaro loses, and then you have Roman, like, beating people of random caliber for, like, the next few months, and you build Cesaro up and give him a compelling story, and at, like, another big show, like, to go back to SummerSlam again, you have Cesaro versus Roman, and Cesaro's had the months to make himself a threat. I have no problem with Cesaro beating Roman at SummerSlam.
Do you think Cesaro might be given the push to go for Money in the Bank?
Yes. In fact, I would say out of everybody in the roster right now, I think there are two guys who are the favorites to win Money in the Bank, and I think it's Cesaro and I think it's Big E.
Yep.
And one of those two will beat Roman at SummerSlam. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
All right. Yeah. Now, I got to say too, moving over to more stuff on SmackDown too, because I need to talk about we don't really need to talk about it, but I gotta say, dude, like, can we do something? Can we break up? Like, I need to say it now because we talked about it last week, but we didn't get to really say it because the episode didn't air. Can we break up Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax now? Like, now. Yes. Hot shot it now. Yes. End it now. Yes. It's absolute trash.
Yes.
Like, yes. We've just been really positive for a little bit now, which I really like that we were, but now we gotta bring it back down a little bit. Because we had more shit last week on fucking Raw where fucking Nia Jax was slipping around like a goddamn water slide. So much so that it gave fucking the guy from Busted Open a fucking hernia. Dude, he was losing his shit. Did you guys see that?
No.
Dude, fucking, oh my god. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. But the main guy, not fucking Bully Ray, but the other guy, David LaGreca. Dude, LaGreca was losing his goddamn mind on Busted Open talking about Nia Jax slipping and falling. Also, he just had a full-on what the fuck am I doing with my life moment.
Are they doing an Eddie Guerrero China gimmick with Nia Jax?
Like, how so?
Because remember how they introduced that one guy who gave her those roses?
That is, yeah, I don't know what the hell that is. Yeah, with Angel Garza.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what that is either. Like I said, it's one moment. I don't know why. Yeah, where like they give her roses, and she's like, "Oh, that's sweet," and then she throws them at Mandy and fucking Dana Brooke.
Yeah,
I think that was literally just there, just for that one spot.
That would be insanity to me if that's what actually it was.
Because they had to, because they had to give her something after being like fucking a mess again.
Then have the third fall. Have that random guy that follows him around give her the roses. Who is that guy?
Oh, Reginald.
Yeah, what does he do?
He was with fucking
Carmella.
Carmella for the longest time, and now he's just kind of bouncing around as a manager for different female talent.
Okay, I'm so because he like I've never seen him before. He pops up on my TV. I'm like, who is this man?
Yeah, he was with Carmella for a while.
O'Hare, and why is he following these two women?
It's just, I mean, like, here's the thing, because I just want, like, I know the women's tag team titles are something they're still trying to at least put on TV and give them something to do, because God knows they're struggling for women's tag teams. I know, I can't imagine why that's an issue, but regardless, these two, not a tag team that people care about. And they just lost to Tamina and Natalya on fucking SmackDown. They appeared on fucking Raw and looked like a mess. They did beat fucking Asuka, Naomi, and Lana in a 6-women's match because of Rhea Ripley's help. But again, Rhea Ripley. They weren't going to do dumb shit with Rhea Ripley this early with her being on Raw. But I don't understand why this is the tag team, women's tag team that we're going with for the belts. And I just feel like that needs to end here so Shayna can do badass stuff on SmackDown, because I feel like, because they got, obviously they've got the big thing on Raw is Bianca Belair is the women's champion on SmackDown. Perfect person for her to defend the title against. Perfect person. They have history with NXT. I think you break them up quickly and then put them together to do stuff on SmackDown. I think that could be one of your best storylines that you have on in WWE in general.
See, I think Shayna versus Rhea Ripley is the better match.
I agree, but they have Rhea positioned as a heel right now, and they have her positioned as a heel on Raw right now. And with Bianca being such a good babyface champion, Shayna just works better as the heel.
That's fair. That's fair. I guess that's fair. Yeah. I always see Rhea as more like a tweener, but
I agree. But they are setting her up as a heel right now.
Yeah, and that's fair.
But I can, again, I'm fine with that, but I think with the way that they have everything set up right now, just kill the Shane and Nia team. Just end it right now. It's a disaster. It's a just complete mess. All it's doing is literally giving points of Nia Jax to slip and fall, possibly scream my hole again because we haven't had enough of that. It's like, dude, just stop it. Just stop it right now, honestly. But I do... I do also want to talk about, too, do we have any idea exactly what we're going to get with Commander Aziz? Because on SmackDown this week, the Intercontinental Championship was defended, Big E versus Apollo Crews. Yeah, Aziz was just fucking the reason as to why Big E got disqualified and lost didn't get the title back. And then Kevin Owens ran in, and then Sami Zayn. This whole match, dude, was like fucking cluttered, where the match ended in a DQ for Apollo to retain and Commander Aziz to beat up Big E, which helped him retain. But then Kevin Owens ran in to save Big E, but then got taken out by Sami Zayn. And then he starts dancing over him. And then Sami Zayn got fucking hit by Aziz anyway. It's like, I don't understand why it was so cluttered.
I mean, if the plan is to do like some kind of like weird like four-way for like the belt, and like Big E, like Sammy, KO, and
Cruz.
And Cruz, like, that'll be cool, but like, it's weird. We'll have to see what happens next week. Maybe see what happens. But next week will probably be like Big E and KO versus like Sami Zayn and like Cruz. But I don't know. I really think that I really hope whatever they're doing with Sammy and Kevin Owens ends with KO and Sammy teaming. But the more this feud goes on, the more I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. It's the same thing, too. And I guess we'll cover real quickly NXT, just kind of real quick. And I think the main thing I want to talk about, because we didn't air it last week because of fucking shit, but I'm continuing to sing my praises about Kushida being my favorite thing in NXT right now. Like, honest to God, dude. Like, I love Kushida in NXT. His match against Oni Lorcan last week was unfucking believable. And this week they had Legado del Fantasma versus MS Kushida, which I love that team name in general. But that was a great tag team match too. And Legado del Fantasma got a really good win, and it gives. And I'm telling you right now, dude, anything that Kushida does on NXT, I will be watching at least three times.
I mean, Kushida's great. Kushida's always been great. And I said this last week, and I'll say it this week too. I'm very happy that it seems like they finally got their shit together with Kushida. I mean, I feel like for the longest time at NXT, he was kind of just treading water. Like, he was always putting on good matches, but they didn't have really any big storyline of consequence for him. And him doing this is very, very good. And I agree with you. You know, I mean, I'll always be a fan of Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa on my NXT screens, but Kushida is killing me. So,
but again, I said too last week where I love Tommaso Ciampa and I love the people that have already been established in NXT, like Adam Cole and all that, and Johnny Gargano and all those guys. The big thing with me is that I feel like they've been in NXT for so long. There's only so many other matches they can have that get me excited and other feuds. And for me, Kushida's fresh and new. He's the hot new toy that I'm all in on right now, because him as the Cruiserweight champion is dope. I want him to eventually move up on the titles and start going for either the North American title or the NXT World NXT Championship. But again, it's what I said too, was just, I don't know what else, and Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa and Adam Cole, I don't know what else they can do because they've been in NXT for so long. Like, we're coming up on, and Adam Cole has been in NXT since NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Oof. Like, that's how long he's been in NXT. And NXT Brooklyn 3, if I'm not mistaken, was back in fucking 2017, I think.
I mean, Gargano and Ciampa had been around longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah, 2017 was when they were there. So they've been in NXT for a little over 3 years, like 4 years. So, and I know the whole fear with WWE is just calling up the NXT guys and then wasting them. But I just don't know what else they can do. Like, it's like in NXT, just because unless they like really start kickstarting their new talent in from the Performance Center and stuff like that, and really start making other new stars, I don't know what else to do with them that's at least going to grab my attention. I'm continuing my fall off with NXT that always happens, where it's just I end up not watching the shows and then watching just the takeovers. Kushida's the main reason why I continue to still watch NXT, truly.
Oh, you're not a big Karrion Kross guy? I love Karrion Kross. No, I was being dead ass serious. I love Karrion Kross.
Yeah, I don't know why that was funny, but it just was.
I don't know. I loved you just being like, oh, what the fuck, man? But no, I mean, I like Kross, but
Did that sound sarcastic?
I don't think it was sarcastic necessarily.
I think
the big thing for me, well, first off, he wasn't on this week. And second off, while I like Karrion Kross, I think there's still a little bit of improvement to him, and I want to see him improve. But I don't know, man. It's just I need new guys to start feuding with these established guys soon. And it's just the guys that they have right now. Like, I like grizzled young veterans right now getting involved with Tommaso Ciampa. I like seeing these guys like get involved, but I don't know, man, dude. It's just my hype for NXT is just waiting, and I don't know why that is.
I mean, I think you nailed it. I think it's just, you know, it's NXT is arguably the best wrestling show that WWE has, but it's, you know, it's, I mean, I usually only watch the takeovers too, because NXT, you're getting, I don't know, it's they don't spend a lot of time really developing new people, and if they do right off the bat, they don't really have anything compelling at first. I feel like with NXT, you debut new talents by having them beat up other guys we don't know, and eventually they make it up the ranks, and eventually they beat, like, all the big story beats are their wins and losses at takeovers. So, I mean, I don't think you're too far off to where you usually only watch takeovers, because I am that same way.
And I don't even want to seem it like it's like, oh, this AEW mark is bashing on NXT. It's not even like that, dude. It's like, I'm concerned of, like, burnout for these guys, of like running out of things to do for the, like, guys like Gargano and Ciampa and Adam Cole, and like because they literally just did the feud with Undisputed Era and stuff with Adam Cole, and it's like I don't, like I said, with that out of the way, I don't know what else Adam Cole does. Like, I want to see them do shit in NXT because they're they're amazing.
Adam Cole is another one of those things. Like, honestly, if you surprised us all with a big pop by putting like Adam Cole in a Money in the Bank match and Adam Cole won it, I'd be super thrilled. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know other than doing other feuds with new guys coming from through the Performance Center and through training, other than bringing them up to the main roster, I don't know what else.
You know how Sheamus is doing that, like, United States Championship
open challenge.
Literally in like a month, have Adam Cole come out and have him like super kick him in the face, win the belt, and just let Adam Cole like be the man on Raw. Because I'm with you. Like, I'm willing to like. I mean, I love Adam Cole, but like you've said it, like he's done everything. He was the champion forever. He had the dominant faction. Like, Undisputed Era won all the belts. He lost the belt, feuded with Undisputed Era. Like, there's really nothing more that he can do. I think his NXT story has been wrapped. So, I'm with you.
And if the mindset is still supposed to be that, like, you're supposed to be working your way up to the main roster, if that's still what the mindset of what NXT is supposed to be, these guys have to be up eventually. And I know the fear is just that they'll get ruined. I know that, but...
Well, I know for a fact Tommaso Ciampa has literally went on record and said, I never want to leave NXT, so.
And that's fine if that's the case. If he doesn't want to leave NXT, go. That's fine. But I need new stories with him. I need new
Guys like Gargano and guys like... But the thing is, too, like, we saw Gargano on the main roster.
Sure, we saw both of them.
And we saw Tommaso Ciampa, and we saw, you know, and they were literally teamed together, even though they were feuding together. Like, it made no sense. Like, it just showed you that the people who run WWE don't pay enough attention to NXT, because literally, like, am I wrong when I say that? Like, weren't
no,
they
you're
feuding
not
together?
Wrong at all. No.
Like, they were feuding together. And
I don't know if they were feuding, but they were, like, yeah, I think it was after the match against Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano, when like
they definitely weren't friends.
I feel like they might have made up at that point, though. Yeah,
I don't know.
Regardless, though, like they were just put together because people knew them together, and they just became kind of like DIY again. And then they just did a couple matches, and then eventually, yeah. I mean, it was the same thing with the NXT call-ups with Ricochet and Aleister Black. They did nothing together, and then all of a sudden, they were just teaming. When they were on SmackDown.
Competing for the tag titles.
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's like, it's literally, no, it's like they get called up and they're the NXT guys. And they're just supposed to ride off of that character development instead of just actually developing them yourselves.
Yeah. But. And they brought them up out of like nowhere. Like, it was weird. But like, you know, and so I think that puts a lot of, and I think that fear from all those years ago kind of put a bad taste in a lot of our mouths when we think of NXT call-ups, because we have seen so many call-ups just fall flat. I mean, case in point, again, Keith Lee. Like, that man went from being the guy who won the North American and the NXT Championship, and now he's not even on WWE programming. So, like, you know, it's on paper, it looks so easy. Like, you bring up these guys, you have them feud, and you bring in the new batch. But, like, something doesn't click in the follow through because WWE writers just can't book these guys who are fantastic wrestlers and fantastic characters and can't book them successfully, and it's just mind boggling.
I mean, I know at, it's.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Look at guys like I feel like a lot of the guys are scared when they look at guys like Nakamura. They look at guys like Joe. They look at guys like let me see. Even Bo Dallas, you know, took.
I mean, even Sami Zayn for a little bit.
Sami Zayn, still Sami Zayn, never got a title run. Big E Langston took him forever to just get to where he is now. Like, they look at all these guys where shit, they didn't know what to do with Bayley for a good little bit when she got up there.
She was fucking hugging Corey Graves at one point.
Yeah, they look at all these people who were like with them, and they were supposed to be the guy or the girl when they were down there with them, and they see what happened to them, and they're like, holy shit. If they messed up Nakamura, if I'm Adam Cole, I'm like, shit, I'm like, what, 6 foot maybe? Vince is going to throw me to the fucking nothing. Aleister Black was champion for how long, and he's just now getting a gimmick?
Keith, I mean, you look at like the guys on NXT, and like, I mean, you look at like the people who were like tremendous deals in NXT. You look at the Ascension. They're not even employed. And when they were employed, they were jobbers. You look at Asuka. How the fuck? And they got Asuka back on track. I mean, Asuka's back. Asuka's great. We love Asuka.
But they didn't know what to do with her for months. But
they bring her back. They call her up after being undefeated for so long. And she loses to Charlotte at WrestleMania. Shayna, it's like, Baszler, it's just like, so, you look, yeah, exactly. Like her and Ember Aleister Moon. Black, Ember Moon, Aleister Black, Keith Lee, the, like, it's just, you look at all these people, like the fucking Viking, the War Raiders, like, you know, you look at all these people who were just so good at NXT. Teams. Yeah, give them 100 different names, you know?
Like I think about it sometimes. I know she left and she didn't want to, but I think, do you sometimes think Kairi Sane was like, I got out at the right time? Because look at Andrade, another one, and he's with Charlotte, and they treated him like he barely, once they got rid of his manager, it was over. Rusev? Yeah. Like, look at all these people that, like, have walked.
Well, Rusev, they got pissed off because he got over on his own.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you got to think about, and that's an issue. You shouldn't get mad at someone for getting over his own, but that's a whole nother conversation. But look at all these names that have walked in the door that have, at the same time, basically had been sent right back out the door on their ass. Like, if you're telling me the big leap to, like, the league or something, like, think about any other sports league where everybody who's gone up to the main always gets screwed over. I'm not going to want to play there. There's not a way. There's not a chance I'm going to want to go and actually get up there and actually try to have matches because I'm scared. I'm scared as hell. Like, I don't want to end up like any of these guys. If I'm Adam Cole, I'm like, I'm short. They might, I don't know what Vince could be thinking. If I'm any of those guys, I'm like, you think Vince is going to understand what Johnny Gargano's gimmick is? How long till Johnny Gargano becomes Jimmy Wang Yang?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if they'll give him the exact same Jimmy Wang, but do you mean like he'll be like a bottom of the card not getting booked? Or do you mean they'll literally make him Jimmy Wang Yang?
I think he's kind of leaning on both.
I mean a little bit of both. Like, I'm thinking, like, how long does we have it till he's just Jimmy Wang Yang and he's just at the bottom of the gimmick doing nothing? Like, look at all these guys. I'd be freaking out. I don't think Vince would understand any of these gimmicks. And it's like you're nervous to even go up there because you're like, I get up there and then what? Then I'm screwed and I'm back on the indies. When I could stay in NXT, it's the closest thing to comfort that I have while also being a little bit extra. Like, look at Finn Balor. He's probably
at this point, I think I take my chances on the indies, if I'm gonna be totally honest with you.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, like, look at Finn Balor. He had to go back, and I bet you he's overjoyed that he's back down there. I feel like most guys, when they get sent back, that's the only place where you get sent back down. You're like, guys, do not go up there because it sucks. Like, I don't blame these guys. The indies NXT is a perfect little in-between the indies and WWE for them. So it's like in your cake and eating it too. You know what I'm saying?
What we're getting down to the point is just like the way that the system is currently operated with WWE is just completely backwards. Like, the talent should not want to live in your quote unquote developmental zone because your main show sucks such ass. So we've said our praises about SmackDown. We've railed against Raw, and then we've also said our praises about NXT. I think the lasting image we want to say right now is that the system is broken, and that the way that the company has operated for the last couple years is just not working the way that it should, and it just needs to be fixed. And I don't know if it will be fixed, but we can at least hope that somewhere along the line, some good stories get told. But it's just, we're in a dark period right now. I think the only thing I'm hoping is that when fans get back into arenas and they can actually actively in crowds say how they feel about certain shit, that sooner or later shit changes. But it's a rough period. I mean, like, we're literally coming off of the high of WrestleMania being relatively strong, and now we're just like kind of slumping. Like, we're
now
literally
we're at the backlash. The backlash of WrestleMania, which we're is getting, such a dumb name for a pay per view.
We're getting fucking whiplash, is what we're getting. Where we're just like all of a sudden we've gotten a car wreck all of a sudden.
WrestleMania Backlash. It should be called WrestleMania Whiplash.
And I'm still mad at them for that. They could have just went to a building in Florida. And you know Florida doesn't care about COVID. Have fans do what NXT used to do. They stay at one arena.
Well, AEW still technically has fans in for their shows in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but that's what
not full capacity.
Yeah,
but I think that's the main thing though, is that I don't think Vince, unless it's in WrestleMania where they can get a large amount of people, I don't think he wants a normal sized arena, but just at minimum capacity. Because I don't think he wants his show. I don't think he wants his show to have that image.
No, he knows he can boot out of the building. That's why he doesn't want to do that, because he knows if he had a crowd of, because it'd be all smiles, and he knows it'd be booed out of the building. Like, I just don't get why they don't run it. I understand why he doesn't want it to be the look, but it's at that point where it's like, wrestling is hard to watch without the fans. Just go and get a little arena in Florida and rock out.
It would be more forgivable if other wrestling shows were putting out equally shit quality.
But they're not.
And so it gets to the point to where it's like, okay, man, like, what's your excuse? Because there are companies who have less to work with than you who are putting on better shows than you, and you need to fix it.
Yeah, and again, I'm hoping at least, because I know they plan on having a crowd for SummerSlam. I'm hoping when we get to that point in the year, things start panning out and stuff like that. And that's just with the rest of the world. But either way, I honestly don't know if I think we pretty much covered everything that we want to cover. So I think we can wrap it up here. But I know we're right now, at least with WWE, the optimism is like very, very low right now for the product. And I think it needs a kick in the ass. And we're just coming. WrestleMania just happened like 3 weeks ago, and we're already feeling a downturn of the product. And we need a legit fucking hot shot of some sort of like just of better writing, of better storylines, of a change in the fucking like people we're seeing on the show. And just like, and then the simple fact of like, just can Nia and Shayna and just let them break up. I think that's just it. But regardless, I think we've covered everything that we want to cover on this week's episode of Pinned. Again, apologies for the episode not going up last week like we wanted it to. We're hoping that when we go to edit this one, we have no technical issues and we're going to be able to get it up, even though we had some issues of getting Amir back in the episode. But I hope everything goes well. And if the episode's up, then it did go well. So real quick, I'll go to Chad and Amir. Where can people find you on socials?
You know, they're trying to get Ryan Reynolds to be Mr. Fantastic. What a horrible casting decision. Sorry, I just saw that on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at ChaddingTatum1.
Man, we just got to get that fucking Green Lantern 2. Green Lantern 2. It's got to happen.
He's Deadpool. We don't need him as Mr. Fantastic.
That is very true, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Follow me at ChaddingTatum1. You can check out the Sponge Podcast, Pants of SpongeBob Podcast. Follow me. I got a bunch of other shit popping off. It should be a fun time. That's all I got.
He fits way more as Human Torch too, if they even were gonna put him in that situation. But regardless, Amir, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at the Moderna and Wakandan diplomat currently. You know, I am Mr. Two Shot Shorty over here. You could also follow me on Bronskin Assassin. I think I'm going to change that to the Moderna Assassin coming soon, but at the moment it's currently the Bronskin Assassin. And also I think I'm going to switch something to, because you know Mackenzie Dern's an actor, I want to make it Moderna Dern, but I'm not for sure yet. But so yeah, those are the things you can find me on. Yeah, that's it right now.
All right, and then for me, myself, you can follow me at szoomer4 on Twitter. I am also on YouTube with my full name, Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z, if you want to watch me my covers of like people like 21 Pilots, Ed Sheeran, all that kind of shit. If you're into that as well. If you're not, I understand. I also do another wrestling podcast with my friend Floyd, All Things Elite, where we cover strictly everything in AEW. If you want to check that out, that's on anywhere you can find podcasts, and the Twitter is at ATElitePod. But yeah, that'll wrap it up for this episode of Pinned Weekly. Again, sorry for what happened last week, and we will see you guys next time, hopefully very soon, before me and Chad go on vacation. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, yes. Have a wrestle-tastic day, everyone.